Welcome back. Today, we're excited to have Gary from Orange County.
Gary.
It's like John from Cincinnati.
Gary. Yeah, right?
Gary.
Say hi, Gary.
Gary.
Oh, hello, guys.
Yeah. Reno, I'm sure you don't recognize his voice.
What's up?
Mike.
Hi.
And
how are you?
Charlie.
Hi.
All right, cool.
Right on, let's do this. It is, right?
It's a good show.
That's fun,
except
right?
Gary. Stories smoke us all.
I know.
Well,
you got good fucking stories.
Gary.
Yeah. For sure.
I have
yeah.
so many stories. I'm so sorry.
Gary. Gary. Oh, Gary. Yeah. Gary.
Gary, you told me you were combing your hair.
Remember on Weird Science?
I never tossed off, Ma. I never tossed off.
I had a friend of mine who worked at Sears who was doing that. Well, he ended up, he's a doctor, and his office was over at Sears, but he ended up, you know, he picked up a habit, right? So this is in the 80s. And anyway, so him and his wife both end up loaded, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's just writing scripts, and she's taking them all, kind of doing the same thing you are, right? And they're doing it for, fuck, man, close to 2 years.
Wow.
You know, I mean, she's going everywhere, fucking Santa Monica, you know what I mean? Pasadena, everywhere over town. And eventually, they just, I don't know what happened, but for whatever reason, they catch on to him, and they drop a drug test on him. And he's like, fuck. And he pisses, and it's dirty. And so they put him in this program. It's almost like a doctor probation.
Yeah, I've heard
and
of
he
that.
Said it's fucking packed.
Yeah, it's like, packed.
They
it's
go
packed.
To these
I work
meetings
for a doctor
shit.
That specializes in addiction, and he's 6 months behind me in sobriety. 6 months
oh,
ahead
why?
Of me in sobriety.
Oh, right.
And
wow.
so I've had to see firsthand what he had to do to get his license back, which he gets it back within 6 months. But
oh,
he's
that's
been dealing
great.
With it for 7 years.
They didn't even take, they put him in this program. It didn't take his license right off the bat, but he was on testing. And but he was, you know, of course, you know, doing
yeah.
it's all
do.
Money for them, though, with,
yeah.
the, with the medical board. And I'm glad that I'm not a nurse. I get paid like a nurse and I do a nurse's work. But
yeah.
I didn't lose my licenses
yeah.
and I, because I'm not a nurse. I never
yeah.
had to take boards. So I get to work,
yeah.
which I didn't think I was going to be able to do. I had that little whisper to my case manager in treatment. Like, I just want a non-medical job where nobody dies. You know, I'm just going to just go somewhere every day and just keep it mellow.
Yeah.
And that little get well job was there for 5 years, and I'm running two companies, and then
yeah.
all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, hey, we used to work together a long time ago, I know this doctor, you guys are gonna get along. And I was like, I'm not ready
yeah.
to go back in the I was afraid
yeah.
to be around the fucking keys again, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I had to do the probation and all that scraping and trying to, they kept assigning me a new PO every 3 months, so I had to reestablish credibility and go to those offices where everybody's like still trying the hustle, and I'm just like, ugh. And she's like, you just got to meet this dude. And I met him, and it was instant. I was like, oh, we're the same. We're the same. We're both ashamed. And,
that's
you
cool.
know, we get to take care of the patients. We're not taking care of their addiction. We're taking care of their bodies while they're healing from addiction. It's
yeah.
kind of cool.
That's
doing
great.
That.
Yeah, that's really
I
cool.
I got to remember my place there a lot, too, because I have a lot of opinions.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not paid for my opinion. I'm paid for their health care.
It is funny, though, when you're in your addiction and you, like, say OD and end up at Cedars, or, like, you're, you know, or you go into the hospital because you've got kidney failure from shooting speed or whatever the situation, they a lot of times just treat you like such a piece of shit.
They get that
so
empathy with
it.
Me, but also sometimes I have a knife in my pocket. I have a knife in my pocket. There's
yeah.
a couple of, there's, you know, people that, like, they get that look. And when I'm at work, I'm on.
Yeah.
And that some of them have a lot of other issues.
Yeah.
Not just like, could they possibly OD? Where's my Narcan? But that kind of thing. But sometimes, like, this person is going to try and hurt me.
Yeah.
In the medical field, you get attacked a lot. I've
yeah,
been attacked
a lot.
A lot
of that.
Really?
Yeah, man. When
oh,
I worked in
yeah.
cardiology, oh, the fucking demented patients, you go to take their blood pressure or put the leads on them for an EKG, and they're just swinging at you.
Whoa.
And you gotta be, and I was on pills. So like,
slow
like a little
motion.
Bit slow down.
Same thing. No, that was a thing I heard growing up all the time. My dad being a neurologist was that there's a fair amount of like mental illness that you encounter that can sometimes, when it's on an extreme neurological level, get pretty fucking crazy. Like
that's gnarly.
I had a patient throw a metal.
Thinking things, you know, people start thinking crazy thoughts, and you know, yeah.
I had a patient throw a metal suggestion box at my head when I worked at the lab because we didn't take his insurance anymore. I had a patient who I was protecting a coworker who was being verbally abused. So I stepped in because I'm big, you know, and I'm like, you got to go. And he took off his bandage and wiped his blood across my face.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. And the Korean doctor came out, chased him outside, was going to kick his ass. It was a crazy day. It was a crazy day at Fullerton Cardiovascular, man. Oh, it was nuts. It was nuts because he heard the name that he called her because she was Cambodian. She was a Cambodian refugee. She was rad. So this chick, she came from Cambodia. Like they came and took her, they separate the family and steal all of your belongings or whatever. So she immigrated to the States through Georgia. So she had a Cambodian southern accent.
It was so funny.
She was like, this is bullshit. She was cool as shit. And so this guy used that slur that you don't use. Because she wasn't getting his vein. So she had poked him a couple of times and I came in and boy, he got me.
That's
he
gnarly.
Wiped his blood all over my face. And,
Oh, man.
I would have just taken. Oh, fuck.
I got in fights with the other nurses at work, too.
Shit.
Neither one of us got fired because we were both just as bad.
Would you work in a small space with a lot of people every fucking day?
And there was always
and healthcare is such high stress, right?
It is.
Everything is super tense. Everybody doesn't want to fucking be there. Like none of the patients, everybody's nervous. And it's like it brings out the worst in the most stable of people, the most fear and stuff like that. And then you get someone who's just a little hot. You know, if they're running at a little bit higher RPMs general or a confused
nothing
version
ever
of
happened
RPMs.
Nothing ever happened at the cancer center except one couple had sex.
None of those fools have any energy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, nobody has any energy. Nothing ever happened at the cancer center. Everybody
you're probably
got
not going to get a lot of wilding
and
dialysis.
Benadryl as soon as they come in.
My buddy worked in the emergency room. He was telling me when they were like young, you know, doing their initial bullshit or whatever.
Yeah.
He was telling me that because I was like, what's the weirdest shit that happened? He said, removing things from people's asses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like broken light bulb.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
fuck.
Then one dude
candles,
came in,
flashlights, everything. Like I said, it gets sucked up into your bort hole.
Yeah. But he said, a dude came in.
I like that.
Your bort hole ate your mag light.
Damn.
So a dude came in, he was friends with my friend's brother, right? And funny, like the doctor so friend dumb. Of mine, his brother's a dentist.
That's great.
But this guy came into the ER and it was a friend of his brother's and he was super fucking embarrassed. He's like, what's going on? He's got, I got a Tabasco bottle up my ass. And he's like, he goes, how did it happen? And he goes, I was eating tacos in the shower and I slipped. Isn't that amazing?
But I mean, what are you doing?
It's just like, whoa.
That's fucking rich. The gnarliest story I ever heard about like the healthcare industry was I had this connection back in Corona where I grew up and he sold weed and kind of like we all did speed. I don't know. He might've sold speed too. I don't remember, but he was a little bit of a trip. And, his mom worked at Patton State Hospital, which was the mental hospital
Pomona.
In San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Oh. It's out like it was out against the
mountains.
Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah in San Bernardino. And, so his mom was like a cleaning lady there, like a custodian, whatever, you know? Mm. And so there was this like high level security wing where they had like a bunch of cells and they were like the doors, you know, so I'm trying to think of the way to explain this for the listeners. So there were like every cell was, it was every few feet was an opposing cell, you know?
Right.
And then at the front of the cell was a door with a, you know, like a 4-inch by 4-inch glass window.
Sure.
And then there was a long hallway to another door with another 4-by-4-inch glass window.
Like
and then that
port.
Was the cell.
Yeah.
So it was like there were really high risk people in there. And so every day she had to mop the main hallway. But then like one of the days of the week, they would crack the door, the first door, and she would have to mop up to their door, you know? And she would pass, you know, and she would kind of like glance in the windows or whatever and stuff. And usually she wouldn't see anything, but there would always be this one dude like looking at out the window with this big fucking shit eating grin, you know, like, like big fucking creepy, weird smile. Right. And she couldn't help herself, but kind of look over every day. And he was like, you know, big fucking smile, like, you know, big Cheshire cat grin, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the day came where she had to, they had to crack the door and she had to mop up to the door.
No.
And so she's like, fuck, you know, and she's like going down the hallway, mopping the thing. And she could see that he's in the window looking at her or whatever. And she gets up to the doorway and she looks up and he's there with his big shit eating grin, but he had chewed his entire lips off.
Oh.
And so he wasn't smiling. He just didn't have, like, no, he was restrained way. And he just like chewed his fucking entire, gives me fucking goosebumps every time I tell it. So he just literally was like, you know what I mean? Like just completely.
Like a skeleton.
Yeah. Like just totally like no flesh there that he had like all chewed away from his face.
Where was this?
Patton State Hospital in San Bernardino.
Is this still open?
I don't think so. There used to be that one, and there used one to be Camarillo, too.
Is Norwalk Metro still open?
Which one?
Norwalk Metro?
No, but I got a good story about that one. I did a panel in there one time. I did a fucking AA panel in there, and this when I was living in Orange County, this dude that was super hot about doing panels and you know, on fire for AA. And he was like kind of a cool guy, this dude, Greg. He's all tatted up. And he's like, yeah, you know, come do this panel with me at Norwalk State Hospital or whatever, you know. And I thought, because I'd always heard there was like a drunk, like a detox there.
There used to be, yeah.
Yes, I forget what they call it. It has a name that if I said it, you'd know it. But he was like, yeah, it's not there. It's actually in the hospital, whatever. And so we go into the unit. It's like bzz, 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 like four fucking doors, you know. Like I was like, Jesus Christ!
You're not entirely sure you're leaving.
Yeah, I was tripping, and
some Silence of the Lamb shit.
So
style,
we get
right?
in there, and these dudes were fucked up, man. Like I mean, they were like
touched
hard, and most of them were like super medicated and just. There was this dude sitting real close to me. It looked like fucking a medicated Willie Nelson that just kept ripping these gnarly farts.
No way.
And they were like medicated, stinky ass fucking, you know? And we're sitting there trying to be like, you know, of service or whatever and stuff. I'm like, the fuck are we doing here? We ain't going to reach these people. You know what I mean? And most of them were kind of just like medded out and kind of weird and doing their own thing. And there was like one or two dudes that were like super fucking energized, like front and center, like, yeah, man, like all fired up for this meeting or interaction, you know, but they don't get out a lot.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's a state hospital.
Yeah. And we started talking to them a little bit and, you know, one dude had been there for like 13 years. Another dude had been there for like 9 years. And like, and we're talking to, and the one dude who was super energized and crazy, he had like a wife beater on and he had a shaved head and he had like all these fresh fucking scars on his body, you know, like, I was like, what the fuck, man? And I look over and there's like a chalkboard, like a dry erase board over on the side. And there was like a list of like all these random fucking things, like hairbrush, salt shaker, like, you know, all these pencil, ruler, right?
Yeah.
And then there was like the punishment alongside of these things or whatever. And I'm like, what are you guys in here for? You know? And they all said like kind of in unison, they're like, we're pica patients. And I'm like, what's a pica patient? And they're like, we swallow things.
No
and
way.
Their thing was that the way that they acted out was they would swallow these fucking things like hairbrushes, rulers, salt shakers, and you'd have to cut them open and get these fucking things out.
My,
yeah, it was
amazing.
It was gnarly. I was like, well, that's enough for me, fellas.
Good chat.
It was gnarly. I was like, dude, and I told my, don't ever fucking ask me to, like, you know, hey, we're all human beings, you know, and peace, love, and granola, peace and love, like Ringo Starr says.
Yeah.
But Jesus, man, that was a shocking experience.
Ugh.
I was in a mental institution for 3 months.
Wow.
That was not fun.
What was the craziest thing you saw in there?
Well, it was Brea Hospital Neuropsychiatric Center. And it was as a result of, they told me I was violent without remorse.
Oh, wow.
Because I beat the living shit out of somebody at Care Unit of Orange when I was 14. She lied about being at this particular Motley Crue concert because I knew she was fucking lying. I knew she was fucking lying. And yeah.
What did they open with? What song did they open with, bitch?
Yeah, yeah. I knew she was lying. And I jumped her from across the room during group.
Oh, my God.
Right? And so I beat her up real bad. And so they, you know, held me down and gave me a shot and sent me to a mental institution. And they kept me in the locked adult unit for a full month because I wouldn't behave.
Oh, wow.
And it was just sad. It was really just sad.
Yeah. You were 14?
I was 14. I had my 15th birthday at Brea Hospital Neuropsychiatric Center. I did acid when I was in that hospital.
No
I learned
way.
How to make fucking cool as shit leather bracelets that my friend Shmuley still has the Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin leather bracelet that I made her when I was in the mental institution. It was just somewhere
you'd be crafting up in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And they would like give you Thorazine and that was fun. And just you would make out with the cutest boy and just dumb shit. And it was just like treatment, really.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's just like rehab.
But they had panels that came in and stuff, and that was nice, but it was some bullshit. Because my stepdad at the time would come to the family therapy and I was like, I couldn't talk because he was the one that was abusing me at home.
Oh, shit.
So it was just like, okay, I guess I'm here now, right?
Oh, man.
It was just part of the daily, right? But it got me out of high school.
Oh, you didn't have to go to high school?
I didn't have to go to high school. So that was nice.
Thanks, Care Unit or whatever.
Care Unit and Brea Hospital kept me out of high school for 3 months.
What's the worst drug trip you've ever had?
That would be... stay up for a couple days. Me and Shmuley again, man. Fucking me.
Shmuley, so much this shit. Bitch.
She lives in Oregon now?
She lives in Oregon now. So, Oregon. So I'd been up for a couple days and I was over at Shmuley's house and I was like, we should go camping. Because her sister had just sent down a couple of pounds of mushrooms from Oregon. And I'm the personable one. She's my introvert. Like, I collect introverts, right? I'm just like jazz hands all the time. I'm the fucking
jazz
hands. I'm the Kool-Aid man, right? But what comes with that is, like, with all these friendships is, like, I have this, like, little gang of introverts that, like, want to kind of be in on the shenanigans. And she was always one of them. She was always the quiet one. And
you called her Shmuley?
No. Her name is Julie. And,
okay.
Anyway, we've known each other since we were teenagers and just did all the dumb shit together.
Uh-huh.
And you missed the earlier part where, like, we fucked each other's boyfriends and went to jail for each other and just all this shit. And I said, let's go camping. We got all these mushrooms because her sister sent them down for me to sell them for her because I was the personable one. And so that was like my job that week or whatever, is to get rid of a couple pounds of mushrooms. Not that hard. they're really good mushrooms. She goes, I'll go camping with you if you do everything. You got to pack up the car. You got to do everything. I was like, I'll do it. And so I packed up everything into her Camaro. And we drive down to the Cleveland National Forest to this place I had gone to with my mom. It was rad. And I said I had to do everything.
Jesus.
I told her I would.
Must have been some good speed.
Always.
Lemon drop.
Yeah, well, we called the lemon drop duck butter.
Duck butter.
Get your popcorn, get your peanuts, get your duck butter.
I've heard duck butter before.
It's great.
That's
snort
so
it,
funny.
Shoot it, smoke it, eat it. It was good. So I set up the campground and everything's nice and we're drinking our Zimas as we know. Loved our Zimas because we could just take them on the go. We dump out the Arrowhead bottles, those big ass Arrowhead bottles, and fill them up with Zimas. And that's why we didn't get picked to go on the fucking Price is Right. Those goddamn Zimas. Anyways, I had these adventures. So we're down here at this campground and we had everything set up and we got the fire going and the tents up and we take the mushrooms and we're just, you know, don't like the taste of them. So we're smashing them between Oreo cookies and when you're shooting meth, nothing tastes good.
Oh,
you so shoot meth and eating mushrooms?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
and drinking Zimas. And we ate the mushrooms and we just started feeling kind of lonely. It was just It was just us, you know, and we're coming down off the meth and
you start to feel your emotions for real. Like on any other drug, as soon as you incorporate even weed, because like speed takes away your fucking feelings, you know what I mean? But then you do some other shit and all of a sudden you get in touch with
I disagree.
Some kind of feeling.
Speed makes you feel like you're 10 feet tall, invisible, and bulletproof, like, but it, like, you're
emotions, though.
Emotions,
yeah, that's what
emotions
I'm saying.
Are gone.
Yeah,
emotions
yeah.
are gone. It's all bravado.
And they come back, and you're like, oh, shit.
So with the mushrooms and the Zimas, we start feeling lonely. And so I was like, well, maybe we should get somebody else to party here with us. So we got our glow sticks, and we started walking around the campground going, mushrooms. We've got mushrooms.
No way.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Mushrooms. So we met this guy, and he's like, I haven't done mushrooms since college. And I was like, you went to college? That's crazy. I went to a mental institution. Anyway, he's like, I would like to do some mushrooms. I'm like, cool. Give me $20. And so he came over to our campground, and we gave him some mushrooms, and he's hanging out with us, and we're just like, we don't like you. College
no
boy
way.
And oh, you gotta shit. go. So we send him back to his tent. Me and Julie are sitting there, we're like laughing and talking, and we see this guy, we gave him, we sent him on his way with one of our glow sticks so we can see inside the tent. He's twirling his glow sticks by himself. Look, look at this asshole, now he's frying by himself. Oh god. So like an hour or two later, Julie and I make a death pact.
We oh decide, shit,
like it's over. And we have a big fight, like wrestling over the knife.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there's one photo. I know I have it on my Facebook, and it's me standing on top of a picnic table, and in one hand I have a hammer, and the other hand I have a knife because I won. But we decided we were gonna drive the car off the ravine, and that's how we were gonna do it.
Oh shit.
This death pact. And it didn't really go anywhere. We woke up naked, covered in mud inside that tent. And just, it was the quietest morning you could ever imagine. She was like, roll it up. We're going home.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah. We had two different suicide packs that night. One of them was we were going to stab each other, but there was only one knife, so that wasn't going to work. And the other one was we were going to drive the car off the ravine.
Oh, man.
And we didn't do it. It was the quietest pack up and the quietest drive home you can imagine. And that was... just another jam for me and her. Like, let's go to the Price is Right, she said. We'll get there. We'll stay up all night and we'll get there early. So we won't be late. We're 100% late. And we're standing in line in the daytime, and you know, your skin looks like see-through, you know?
Yeah.
And we've never done a game show before. We're dressed exactly the same, you know? Tight jeans, tank top, flannel. And because it was the 90s, Brent was really, really big at that time. So we're late. So we get into the second group, and they give us our cool little name tag, like the little
the
price
big
tag.
One. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
and
sure,
we're
yeah.
like, oh my God, it's happening. My grandma's going to see me on TV. Totally. Like, it's going to be
great. I know. Well,
and we come around the corner, and they're like, it's time for lunch. We're going to give you a number now. You can leave for 2 hours and then come back. And so we had left the drugs at home. So we went to the liquor store and got a bunch of Zimas, pounded those in the parking lot, and we come back and we take our place in line. Next thing you know, we come around the corner and there's all these producers asking questions. We're not interview ready.
Oh, shit.
We've been up all night. We were drunk.
Oh.
Like, what do you do? Nothing. I watch a lot of TV. Did not get picked to be on The Price is Right.
Oh, because they're supposed to be like...
You're supposed to be personable.
He's an architect.
Yeah, you're supposed
yeah,
to...
Yeah, yeah,
I went to a mental institution for 3 months.
You know Reno's watched some game shows on speed.
Yeah.
We would do... Like, when I worked at the hotel, we would get free passes for, you know, Disneyland or the Star Tours. And I was like, Julie, let's fill up our bottles with Zimas and go on one of those Star Tours. So we get on this bus and come out to Los Angeles, and they drop us off on Hollywood Boulevard. We immediately find a pay toilet, and we're just like turning the pipe in the pay toilet. And this whole bus full of people is just waiting for these two chicks to get out of the bathroom. Come out of the bathroom.
Oh my God.
We did it. We smoked speed behind the Greystone Mansion. I mean, and then we eventually abandoned the tour at the House of Blues. We just refused to get back on the bus. And so then we had to call somebody to come pick us up in Hollywood. We were just sitting out in front of the House of Blues on the
for 2 hours waiting for someone to get there. Remember those days when you like no cell phones?
No cell phones at all. You had to page somebody and wait. These kids today so have crazy. No idea how hard it was.
You had to find a pay phone.
That they were everywhere at the time.
Yeah, they were.
It's nuts.
You had to call collect, and then the name was the phone number of the payphone that you were at.
Yeah.
You have a call from 559-4142.
And you scream over that part. Yeah. You're like, hey, it's Reno. Fucking, I'm stuck in San Bernardino or whatever.
And you keep paging and calling and paging and calling.
Yeah, totally.
And waiting.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's just crazy, man.
It wasn't all bad. If it was all bad,
we wouldn't have hung around as long as we did. I mean, at some point, the obsession, you know, you lose the power of choice and you're just in it because you have no choice to be in it. But
yeah,
you definitely like, I mean, yeah, there's, you know, like I've said before, like they're my stories, you know, like they're not all great. Some of them are. Some of them are sexy and fun and wild. And you know what I mean?
Threesomes. Such good times.
Meth fueled threesomes. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like it, right?
Nothing like it.
That's funny.
It's just so different now. It's just so different. The sheets are so clean.
That's so funny. I was at the gym the other day working out and I walked by the mats where people like stretch and lay down. I'm like,
yeah,
those would have been good back in the day for fucking they clean up easy.
Do you ever find yourself like driving around and seeing a plan B?
A plan B.
Like I'll see like a office building where my old medical office was. And I see that there's like a turret with stairs in it. I was like, I could sleep there and be safe.
You know,
do you ever see like your plan B? Like,
oh,
like if it ever gets bad again, I can sleep in that stairwell and probably.
When I first got sober and I was actually when I met you guys and I met Shua, I was a waiter at that Il Fornaio off the 405, that big one, you know?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, it was like kind of like a fancy step up gig for me because I like when I first got sober and I moved down to Orange County and I still had that like skeezy tweaker fucking gene in me, you know? And I remember being like, I was working at that big, you know, it's like there's that giant 24-hour fitness premium master club. And then there's that restaurant and it was a super primo job. Like I had to wear a white coat and you have like a table comb to like get the little extra stuff off the table. It's like super fancy, like a clientele and shit. But I remember like, you know, trotting around there and you had to have a little parking pass card. And I just come from years of trespassing in all these places to do all this foul shit, you know, when I was running around the IE tweaking. And now I'm like, got this job, I got a car, I got a license, I got insurance, I got a parking pass to get a pass to get into this big, you know, complex or whatever
in Newport.
Yeah, right off the 405 right there by the airport. And I just remember like sometimes I'll see a bathroom like, oh, I could fix in that bathroom, you know, like
no, like, oh, the bathrooms have had the doors all the way down to the floor. Those are my favorite.
I used to think that it'd be like, oh, you know, take a mental note. That's a bathroom I could get high in. You
really? Know,
weird shit like that. Yeah.
You get your favorites.
Yeah.
There was a mobile gas station in La Habra on Whittier and Idaho that the gas station attendant would let me lock myself in the bathroom and sleep there.
Oh,
the
wow.
Place. Yeah.
That's
oh, wow.
Weird. Yeah. I would unroll the paper towels and make myself a little pillow and put it down on the floor and I could sleep without anybody having sex with me.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That's so hardcore. Yeah. You're training for jail.
Yeah. Totally.
Training for jail. We were talking about jail earlier, about your first time going in. I remember my first time going to county was back when they used to like sleep people on the floor and pack people into the cells.
On the walkways? Like
not on the walkways.
But you mean like 9,
so? This was Robert Presley Detention Center in downtown Riverside. It's like like Riverside's version of the Twin Towers. They had the old jail, and then they had this new jail that had those same kind of setup, like the day room things or whatever. And I got busted with some drugs, and back then it was just what I was using.
When you got arrested for drugs,
but it was a really big deal back then. Now people are just fucking getting high on the street and doing all this crazy stuff. And I gotta say, I totally, you know, like back then at least they intervened and you had to have a little bit of a moment. You know what I mean? Am I gonna like go all the way with this, or am I gonna try to gets, you know, they kind of, you, they arrest you physically, but then they also kind of arrest the process, and you have the opportunity to be like, man, this probably isn't the right way to be living. You know what I mean? And
I don't, I mean, I'm like, me and Danny argue about it all the time, because I like, it's not a popular thing, but I'm against the needle exchange, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you want to fucking shoot drugs? Make them. They have no value anymore, so they're fucking littered everywhere.
Yeah, you're
down
right.
Down by your old office, all over fucking Venice Beach. You're they're right. Everywhere. Yeah. Because if you come with none, you get 30 for a fucking week.
Yeah.
It's... So they have no value, so they're littered. So, you know, me and my wife,
they don't do that in
it.
Riverside County either. Like, it's only in L.A. County that you could buy them at Walgreens and stuff like that.
You don't have to buy them anymore. They'll give them out by the fucking boatload.
Yeah.
They give you 30 if you come with none.
Yeah.
Which means they carry no value. So they're littered everywhere. If you have to make that motherfucker last, I had a celly in Old Folsom. He had one that was 2 years old. 2 years old with 30 different dudes using it.
Oh, wow. Sure. That's so crazy.
But yeah, earwax, like, greasing that plunger and you're sharpening it on a matchbook.
All the little tricks.
Earwax?
Haven't done that.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, this was pre-internet, and I only had assholes teaching me.
Hold on.
Listen, I don't even have a vein in the bottom of my tongue. Look.
Because you shot it out.
Yes.
Just the one.
Because then my tongue blew up. It was some park in Downey. Somebody told me, hey, you could shoot up in that vein in your tongue.
God.
And I was so fucking high, and my tongue swelled up real big, and it was amazing.
Yeah, but you're right about that, like, pre-internet. You just kind of, like, get these stories from these other addicts that are telling you, like, you can do this or you can do that, and you just kind of roll with it. It's so crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I was part of that too, conning other people into my little schemes, like a deranged Lucille Ball. Like, come on, let's do this.
A deranged Lucille Ball, Vitamita Vegemin.
Just always had some crew of idiots willing to do whatever. So
you know,
dumb.
But it's, what's crazy though is the transformation.
Gary.
I mean, I've always known you sober, and I've always seen you be such a shining beacon for recovery for everybody, like, you know, down there, the women in your life and stuff. It's just,
I'll be with 46 of them this weekend in the mountains.
Oh, wow.
Ugh, just started doing retreats 2 years ago. And
oh, nice.
Gary's Let's about cry it. About it. Get in the car, bitch. We're going crying.
We're going crying.
Yes. Let's cry about it. Heal your life and show somebody else how to do it.
Is Melinda going with you?
Yes. She's turns 28 tomorrow.
Fuck, that's
my
wild.
Linda turns 28 tomorrow.
Linda. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
What is this? What just so the people understand, what is this thing you
One
doing?
Of my home groups has a retreat.
Okay.
And they have a summer one and a winter one. And it's all women. And we even have trans women that come. And we do all kinds of activities, and I've served on
so
the committee
much room for
three
activities.
Times after I went to the first retreat, and I was terrified because I just went 2 years ago. It's the first time I've ever done that, and I loved it so much, like sitting around a table talking about God for like a full-blown devil worshiper to, like, you know, come full circle. Like, I'm sitting around a table talking about God and how you came into, like, a higher self, how you healed your life. Like, if somebody who comes from the line of trauma that I come from, it's like, it doesn't fucking define me. It
There's a lot of childhood
and is God,
drama.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
I'm sorry. Is God a necessary part of it? Or is it just a part of it that happens to be? It doesn't matter what it is.
I believe that creation doesn't stop creating just because you call it by a different name. Like, it's all happening whether you're into it or not. And,
Copy that.
For me to say, like, my first day on the job at the cancer center, assisting in a bone marrow biopsy, never been involved in any kind of surgery, whatever, but my hands knew what to do. Like, that's our intuition. What? No? Or maybe it's like fulfilling a purpose.
Yeah.
So I don't have to fucking know its name. I just have to know, like, I know when I'm on the right path. And
yeah.
So for that, that's a higher power. It's like trusting that gut. Cause every time I never trusted my gut, I knew it later. Like, I knew that motherfucker was cheating on me. I fucking knew it, but I didn't listen to my gut, right?
Yeah.
It's something that's inherent. So I don't have to call it God, but I choose to call it God.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah, I have no problem calling it God. I was raised around Catholicism. My dad's from Italy. I was taken over there and baptized in Italy, where in the neighborhood he grew up with. My godparents are also my grandparents, who is also my namesake.
Is that right?
Big Gennaro.
Is that a thing? Like, grandparents being godparents? Is that a thing in Italy? Or?
My dad had, I mean, not necessarily, no. My dad had three kids, and we went over there to all get baptized in Naples, and we just had kind of so many people to work with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it was, yeah, it was really cool. But the thing is for me, it was always super ingrained in my heritage and my culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I never had a bad experience around it, but I also didn't go to like to church so much that I learned all of the negative shit and stupid shit that people are like, that's not true and that's not right. I didn't really get exposed to that. I just got exposed to like intermittent pieces of it, positivity and stuff like that. And so when I came to a point in my life where it was like, I always kind of felt like God was there for me because I'm not dead and I'm not in a prison cell for the rest of my life and I'm not on the streets in a tent right now,
There's four people at this table who've had methamphetamine habits who don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's sure in the fuck ain't me. I can straight tell you up. Because like, I didn't have any hangups. It's not like I wasn't like, I'm really going to get it together. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, it'll be a wrap soon.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. You know, it's sad, but you know what I mean? Like, it's much easier. Doing time is very easy for me. You know,
yeah.
Very easy.
Human beings can get used to anything.
Yeah. But you get used to that where you don't have to fucking answer to anybody.
Yeah.
Or do anything. You know what I mean? Like,
That's total freedom.
Yeah.
But they didn't promise me that one. They just sit down and shut up. And I was like, yeah. Okay. And I saw like women who had the same scars as me and women who had the same background as me. Mm. And the difference between us was 9 months of sobriety. And I saw that they were happy.
Yeah.
That was the only difference, that they had 9 months of sobriety and they were that happy at 9 months. That's all I needed to see.
Yeah. Straight
and it
up.
Took years to get away from my own ego about God and the churches and all that shit, because I had too much
education.
Just
look for all these the disease really looks for 100%. All these reasons. I was just texting with this pseudo celebrity guy that I used to party with, died like earlier this month here in LA, and he's a trust fund kid, whatever, and some girl that kind of like we hung out with texted me like, hey, did you hear Jason died? And she's this girl who's just been like in it for a long time, but she's kind of like got her little hustle because she's hot and people take care of her, and so she's up in some big building on the Wilshire corridor dying of this disease, you know, and
is it his
in
building?
This golden gilded cage, you know. And I started talking to her, and she's just like, you know, treatment centers and all this stuff, and I have a major resentment and all this kind of, and I'm just like, girl, she's like, I think you just had a kids and you snapped out of it. And I'm like, bitch, I fucking am in meetings 3 days a week. I talk to other, I got a couple sponsees. I'm working steps. I'm on my knees every morning. Last Friday, I, you know, felt like I had a half an aneurysm. So I'm on the floor doing breath work. You know what I mean?
Careful with that breath work.
Why?
Careful.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is it?
Because you're denying your brain oxygen.
Yeah.
Careful.
Okay. Noted. Dr. Gary.
That'll be $50. All services are $50.
Gary.
Have you ever went on a bender and you woke up somewhere you didn't?
No, I've never had a blackout. I remember every fucking car I drove into a ditch.
Really?
Every single thing.
Really? Blacked out?
Never blacked out. Oof. I did go blind for 20 minutes.
What?
Nice shot.
Jesus Christ.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Can I get another one of those? You're like,
never,
another
one. Never lost
Anaheim,
memory?
Man. Oh. Anaheim and that skinhead dope.
Fuck. I can't believe you were running with those dudes.
I can't believe it either, because I'm half Jewish.
So many of them are fucking dead. And
oh, my God. They're killed by the police. I mean, when I got sober, I started seeing all of my friends, in air quotes, just somebody was killed over a $20 bag.
Oh,
somebody
man. Was killed.
Death by suicide. What do they call it when you get the cop to shoot
suicide
you?
Suicide by cop.
Yeah, that. I mean, they're all in prison.
Scary.
Probably part. Knows Lily.
Who was on here?
Yeah.
I don't know. She ran
no,
around.
No, I really, really liked that. But I think she's young.
She is young.
She
yeah.
is young. So you know, I haven't done any speed since early 1998.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
when it was still good.
God damn,
I haven't done
it
any coke since
good.
It was the good ether based coke of the 80s. So I came up. The first time I did coke was January 11th, 1986.
What?
I know the exact date.
She's like, I was listening
I
to
was ready.
Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club?
No. I was listening to Look What the Cat Dragged In by
Poison.
Yes.
My best friend, her name was Gary also, and she was 3 years older than me, and I was begging her. Like, I was so ready to do coke. And we stayed up all night doing coke. And, like, the first line that I did, I thought I was going to die because I couldn't swallow and I couldn't breathe. And it was so amazing. And we stayed up all night and we were eating our coke boogers. And, this is so great. And then we went to the dealer's house the next day, who was my dealer for until I eventually got sober.
No way.
Yeah.
Never got busted?
No, he's still around. I just found him on Facebook. I heard he had a brain tumor, but he survived.
Wow.
And he never had sex with me. And when he took my jewelry, he held on to it.
An honorable drug dealer.
He was so cool. But we went to his house and he didn't have any coke. He had meth. And that was it.
And then it was like,
that was January 12th, 1986.
Wow.
The first time you did speed was in 86. Fuck, you're like a Kavinin.
That, I know.
Back in the day. Saw all of it. I saw all of the dirty crank. Like, you try to smoke that and you just be shitting and barfing. Yeah. It was so gnarly.
No, but so you know gnarly. What you said?
But it was never like a ton of it. And when we got a hold of a ton of it, it was just kind of like fun. So I was like 14 and this dude, Doug, he's like, let's go to Anaheim. You got to come to Anaheim with me. I'm going to rob this guy. And I was like, okay, let's go. So I just sat in the car and he did the robbery and we ended up just going to a baseball dugout and snorting speed. And then we went over to the fountain where I lived and put a bunch of soap in it. And just, you know, I was a virgin.
Took a bath.
I just wanted to do drugs, man. I just wanted to do drugs and protect my hymen.
Oh my God.
And I did for years. It was really hard. That's why we had to go door
you
to
and
door.
Me both. And how I failed.
I don't, you know, well, because you, if you did it in 86, that was the P2P dope. That was a whole
no,
different
86,
world.
By the way,
we saw all kinds of, we saw glass.
That's and, right, but that's a 86 place.
No. 86 is like before they were making the pill dope, you know, the popular shit.
Oh, yeah. We had it all. My
and you were out here, right? Oh, that's OC.
Here. Yeah.
So, see, that's West Coast because East Coast, man.
You guys didn't have any of it.
In the 80s?
You know who did have it in the 80s?
Everybody was just like, hey, what do you like to do?
We
cocaine?
Could get crosstops from a magazine.
Yeah. I used to eat
crosstops. We used to get crosstops from High Times.
I used to buy them at the bowling alley. Five for a buck.
Kind of.
Yeah, I'd sell them.
Well, that's what Miss Elliott was talking about, those great
Black Beauties
and cross tops and all that stuff. I came at a weird time, and it's like I got friends who were just about 5, 6, 7 years older than me who were like, it's all about those pills, you know, and those lewds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened to the lewds?
Yeah.
The lewds were fucking non-existent.
By
the
time I got there, a lewd.
By
never
the time
no, they're by the time we were getting loaded in, well, I started
me, it was
shortly
just,
after what you said.
Cocaine?
They were gone. They were outlawed.
They were gone, but they were still around. So in like 1989, 1990,
Bill Cosby had used them all
I was
up.
At a party with the Butthole Surfers, my buddy smoked a lewd, and he knocked himself out on the sink in the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any Black Beauties, but we had cross tops. We would snort Notos. We were drinking Robitussin like it was
water.
That's
so crazy.
Just takes all the bones out of your body.
Is that what it does?
Yeah.
It just, Robitussin does what?
We're so stupid.
It dissolves your... Oh, it just
makes,
makes
you feel
loose.
Like you don't have any bones in your body.
Not
you don't
as stupid
need
as
any
I am,
bones,
I'm like,
silly
what do you
girl?
Mean? It takes the bones out of your body?
It takes the bones out of your body.
I was like, that sounds awesome. How does that do that?
You drink
you gotta literally,
this was,
yeah.
This was the old Robitussin.
I'm an imbecile.
Robo.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
The I heard that the Mormon Robo. Kids do that shit. That sure. buddy of mine moved to Salt Lake and came back. He's like, yeah, they Robo all the time. Is
you know
what
that Mormon kid killed my old boss?
What Mormon kid?
Rick Nicholson. He owned the lab that I worked at. His kid, this Mormon, went on his sabbatical or whatever down to South America and he came back wrong. And he fucking murdered both his parents and the housekeeper last year. Yeah,
last year.
Last year in Newport Beach.
Oof.
Murder in Bonita Canyon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Send your kid to South America. You know, that's kind of crazy.
What happened to that kid?
I don't know. Shit.
Dude, they put the fucking
I mean, if you're down there trying to spread your, you know, Lily White U.S. version of some kind of offshoot Christianity, probably somebody didn't like that.
I didn't like the Mormon funeral.
Yeah.
Something clearly fucking, he went down
the singing
there.
Singing was terrible.
Someone put the zap on his head.
So I love that man.
You're
that
terrible.
Singing was terrible. Oh,
the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
There was no tabernacle. It was just old white ladies in Newport Beach.
Have you ever heard
singing
of the Mormon
terribly.
Tabernacle Choir?
No, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir
that
would have
been
legit.
Nice.
Yeah,
that
they would have been
nice. I think they do that like ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding It's ding the sound of rich done, people spending done. Money at the holidays. That's all it is. Just like,
you know what, though?
This little
this
ring
sounds
will
corny.
Fix my marriage.
That sounds corny, but some of that fucking Christmas music
is great.
It also is another way that and this sounds lame, but it is another way that I know that there's a God. That shit fucking, like some of those songs, you're like, wow, that's just heavy. You know what I mean?
No, I hate Christmas.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, dude, Silent Night.
Halloween is my Christmas.
If Silent Night
try listening
sung
to...
by fucking, what it, I can't remember whether it's the, I think it's Bing Crosby's Silent
Bing Crosby, that's where I was going to go with it.
Son of a bitch.
In my house, it was there was some Bing Crosby.
No,
know, there was the white, there was the kid beater
fucking white
one,
beater,
and then a little
beater.
Of the,
there's only one of his kids says that he was abusive. The rest of the kids say that that was bullshit, that he was just kind of like the, he was a tough bastard, but
probably a prick. But
the song
that was
is
the style of the time.
The song, yeah, it was just different times.
Listen, it was
just
a
different time.
No dads were nice.
The song is, and I challenge you to listen to it at Christmas this next year and tell me different. Is "Oh Holy Night" by Bing Crosby?
For sure.
That fuck motherfucker's like ring your heart out. That's good.
I like the version done by Cartman.
Cartman.
I'll Be From Home South for Park. Christmas is the one that is, that's my favorite Christmas song, hands down. It is the absolute most heartbreaking because it's the World War II song.
Oh,
it's all
yeah.
the guys who were fucking not coming back for Christmas. So it's that whole like, I'll
a lot
be
of those
for
songs,
Christmas,
yeah.
You can count on me. And it was all that era. You
my
know?
Shit's
and,
Merry Christmas, dude, Baby by Otis Redding.
Oh,
that's the best
beautiful.
One.
That's
I don't
a
know
nice
that one.
One.
It's got, oh, dude, it's just this classic soul song, but with the fucking bells and shit in the background.
I got to check it out.
Christmas music
I love Christmas
all fine
music.
And good, but have you ever heard O for Tuna?
Yes.
Oh, for Tuna?
Hell
yeah. I have not.
You guys into Halloween music?
Fuck yeah.
Fucking vampire
no.
shit. I busted that song out in my pole dancing class and everybody was
oh,
so
that's
quiet.
A, that is a fucking great song.
First
it's
time I heard it was
that's
watching
an incredible
Excalibur.
Song.
I have a video of the doctor that I work for wearing a costume of the Pope on his Segway coming down my hallway
to that
while
song.
I'm playing O for Tuna. Yeah.
No way.
Yes, it's I so do. I have a video right here on my phone. I'll show you after the podcast.
We can go out on that tonight because that's
Reno,
that
do you ever,
one of those ones that
I'll
are,
take vampire. Vampires over
domain.
Santa Claus any day. Anybody with me?
No. Reno, do you ever no? do? Do you ever do speed and just go
have kids and then come back to me on that one?
I'm
Wait,
in menopause,
over
honey.
Santa
I'm in my
Claus?
Crone phase now. That ship has sailed,
Reno,
my friend.
Have you ever done speed and fucking just and walk somewhere really far?
Oh, yeah. Dude, no. I
do you ever drink
speed
anybody's
and
blood?
Walking, that's a whole show for me.
I mean,
because I would
not
straight
eventually,
up,
but yeah, a little bit.
I was all over the place, dude. I would be in Orange County. I'd be in fucking Riverside. I'd be in Corona. I'd be in Ontario. And if I didn't like
what
was
happening. Oh, this motherfucker had a car.
If I didn't. No, I'm talking about with no car.
Oh,
I would put together like a run, a hustle. We're going to go down here and party with these people. And, you know, with speed, it always gets fucking weird at some point, you know?
What? Yeah.
And I would just be like, bye. And I would just take off like wherever the fuck I was. And I'm just crafty as fuck. So I'd walk for a long ass time, jump on a bus, get to this spot, get to, yeah, but I was.
Really?
Yeah. I was.
What was
this,
the one that you were saying?
This
the other
one on
night?
Wood used to be like, where the fuck you always walking to? This big tough motherfucker from Corona. I don't want to say his name. He's dangerous. But he would. he was on parole. And he had to have a job. And he was married to like a straight wife that worked at like Stater Brothers or something. She was like a manager, but he was just a crazy outlaw fuck. And so he was on parole. He was back out and he had to have a job. And so he got a job delivering newspapers to like stores in the morning, you know, the big stack of newspapers. And so he'd be on a sick one running around doing that. And he'd catch me like walking down Magnolia and La Sierra, like, which is like way the fuck out there. what the fuck are you and I get in? You know, and I'd be, because I would always bump into somebody I knew.
Yeah.
And it would be another adventure somewhere else. Yeah. You know?
And you weren't afraid to walk.
I wasn't fucking worried about it. People would sit around and be like, can you get us a ride? Hey, I need to get out of here. Fucking, I'd just be like, bye, Felicia. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, yeah, I just bounce.
We had a buddy. I'm sorry.
And I lost it.
Oh,
anyway, yeah. But I was a walking fool like Forrest Gump on speed.
What was the one other night you said you start like
several legs?
What were you saying the night you
said? Yeah, but we got good calves now, don't we?
Yeah, for real. He would say to me like two or three times later, he's like, I know what you're doing. You did too big of a shot and you're walking it off is what you're doing. No. I'm like, no, whatever. It was just fucking crazy. It's just dangerous people, man. I'd just be like, fuck, I'm out of here.
It made me think there was a kid we knew who always was on foot. Always. His name was Lee. And he had a dog named Huey. And Huey was kind of like a pit bull mix. And he would be
no leash.
Lee, yeah, no. And Lee was a sweet dude, good dude. Worked in like art crating and like, but he'd be that dude who you'd always like if you needed a job, you'd just be like, hey, what do you got going on? Because he'd always have some sort of a connect to like a job that was like, we're painting some house in Santa Monica. You want to go like paint the basement room? Be like, fuck yeah, I do. I want to do that tonight. Actually, let me just do this. Let me just smoke a little, and then we'll get out there. And Lee used to just tell you he would call from payphones, and give you inaccurate times of when he was when he would be able to show up.
Son of a
like
bitch.
He was like, he'd be like, oh man, we're all about to go out of here. We're gonna, you know, or whatever. We're getting fucked up. You want to come? You come back. All right, cool. All right, I'm on foot. I got Huey. I'm in Santa Monica. I'll see you in 20 minutes. And we're like in Echo Park. And he's just like, all right, man, I'll see you in 42 minutes. I'm over here. I'm in Long Beach. But I'm coming down. Where are you? Like, Lee, we're at the rooftop of a loft downtown. We're going to be here for another half hour. Just wanted to tell you, you were blowing us up. Just wanted to, I'll be there. I'll be there in 25 minutes. What do you mean? I'm walking. And that was that. And he would, yeah, he just walked everywhere and never showed up anywhere what he said he did.
What kicked that off for you? Were you asking me if you ever did speed and walk anywhere really far?
There's this dude, Bobby, from Glendora, which is like, you know, it's the wealthier town above Covina, right? And these dudes were a few years younger than us, but we were all in action. And one of them was my friend's younger brother's friend. And these two, like, rockabilly kids, they start fucking around and shit. And then I'm like, and one of them, like, kind of, it didn't last too long. You know, he just couldn't handle it. But Bobby was, like, on one. And then he just got to where he was annoying, like, always, you know, wanting shit for free and shit. And I just, like, I was driving down, like, Grand Avenue, like, a main street. And he's blazing, like, walking fast. You know what I mean? I'm like, ooh, fuck. And it was fairly hot out. Not 100 degrees, but it was, number one, you're on speed. It's already hot.
Yeah.
But he was, you know what I mean? It was
being
probably
on speed
like,
when it's the tater tots are done.
You get a good sweat on? Because I got a good sweat.
You
can imagine what I look like.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Good sweat.
So he's on, he's like,
suck on my thing and chase my juice.
He's like blazing down Grand Avenue. And then, like, a few hours later, I see him. And it's not really that far, way, considering it's been a few hours, but he's on a different main street and he's in Covina. It's probably only about 7 miles, which wasn't that much time. But, you know, all I could think is like, how in the fuck? Because he was quite paranoid. And when he's walking on this main street, now I see him like on the next big
main
street.
That's another thing,
over,
though. It shakes the paranoia, too. If you just take off on foot. It does. It breaks you out of that, too.
But
if you're like all fucked up,
makes you feel wild. It makes you feel free a little bit.
You just kind of like, you all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know, like I'm not attached to this fucking crew of criminal fucking weirdos. Like, you know, and I always had lots of friends everywhere. So I could like bounce from a spot in Hollywood and then come over the hill and then be in Studio City partying with normal people again.
Oh, right? Fucking bop around. Bop around, I miss.
Well, no, Bobby had... anyway, so I saw him twice in about a three. I don't know why it threw me off. So, I mean, granted, I was high too, but I saw him walking really fast, and I'm like, and whoever I was with was like, hey, there's, I'm like, nah, fuck, keep going. You know what I mean? Like, And then we're like, I'm saying it was only maybe 7 miles, you know, but he's in Covina now and I see him on Citrus. I'm like, oh, but, you know, up the street from my shop. And I'm like, oh, and whoever, they're like, damn, there's Bobby again. I go, don't fuck, you know what I mean? Keep going or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I don't see him for a few days. Then my other friend's like, yo, did you hear about Bobby? I'm like, no. And he said, Bobby, whatever he was doing, you know, he thought somebody was following him. And he had worked his way down. There was a Kmart on Citrus, and a really big fucking Kmart. But he had wandered his in there, right? And thinking somebody's following him, and apparently somehow worked his way
in. Super sweaty from a 7 mile walk, just coming in there all fucking.
Dude, he stayed in the attic of Kmart for 2 days.
Oh my God.
It opened and closed. He was just hiding. Oh. He had went in the back area, you know, where the employees go, and somehow worked his way up and just and hung out. I don't know where he pissed, shit, nothing, but he was up there for two fucking
oh
nights.
Oh my God.
Not two whole days, but like two nights.
Hiding is my favorite. I got to hide from my roommate. And like by the time he fucking caught me and kicked me out, there was just like nothing but cups and jars of piss.
Oh my God.
In our apartment. Oh my God, that yes, poor guy.
Darling. Where would you hide?
Under the bed.
Under the bed?
Yeah, which was a water bed.
Oh,
okay. A waterbed frame with a regular mattress in it. And so I had pulled out.
Yeah.
Pulled
that's
out.
A total tweaker
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, you could
a
you could pull
waterbed
up.
Frame with a mattress in it that's not the regular, the right
no,
size.
No, there was,
of the bed.
No, yeah. there was all kinds of room around. Yeah. Totally. So I was just under this slat, you know, the plywood.
Yeah.
Hiding from my roommate.
And
he
what
did,
would you do?
He,
cover the side? So
I was under
underneath?
The, okay, so there's a mattress on top of a piece
yeah,
of plywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's that space underneath. Oh, so I was
so
hiding in there.
So you lifted the
there.
Plywood up and
yep.
climbed
and
inside.
And just hide.
And that was all closed in around the edge because
yeah.
it's a waterbed.
Yeah.
And you hear him in there like
and I would just
around.
Be quiet until he left for work. Yeah.
You didn't hide much, right? You weren't real paranoid either, were you?
You know,
I wasn't paranoid. I
just
didn't want to
pay rent. Oh.
You didn't want him to catch you and be like, hey, bitch, where's that $375? That's about how much it probably cost
yeah.
back then. You know, I wasn't a real paranoid person of the cops and other shit like that. I was paranoid of fucking... like
humanity
with, like people that were like fucking
humans.
Hair trigger people like
oh.
you know what I'm saying like
yeah.
there was a lot of that in the Inland Empire
there's a lot
like
of
I said
it.
A lot of that like crazy peckerwood fucking
there's a
all that shit
of them out there.
And or if you end up at a fucking pad where a bunch of essays and they're tweaking you know
yeah.
what I mean and you're just like yeah this probably isn't the right move to be in this spot right now like you know what I mean
yeah
that sometimes it would be imagined and sometimes I would be like well better safe than sorry you know
yeah.
I'm gonna get the fuck out of here you know
there's a certain amount of paranoid schizophrenia that comes along with people that do meth
for sure
my ex-boyfriend had it and he was real fun to get high with
oh
fuck man
and they always want to do it too
waking up and he's fucking handcuffing me to him
oh.
with handcuffs he doesn't have keys to
oh my
and
god
and he says that the dirt in his Thomas guide is where I'm meeting the government so I finally get him calmed down it takes hours where I'm like I'm not involved with anybody I don't even fucking have keys to our apartment
hours
yeah I don't know how to drive I don't have keys to our own apartment. Like, this guy was a fucking piece of work, right? I was
yeah.
with him for 7 years. He's 10 years older than me. Beat
wow.
the living shit out of me all the time.
So
we had to call his mom to take us to the Army-Navy surplus store to get unhandcuffed.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was one day. And then the last time that motherfucker hit me, he made me walk home from the park. And I was so pissed.
No way.
He let me in the house, and he came after me in the kitchen, and I had just gotten a new block of knives from Finger Hut. And fucking he came at me in the kitchen and I fucking stabbed his ass.
Nice.
I stabbed him in the arm. And he had to go to the hospital on Christmas Eve. And it's my favorite joke is that it was okay because his family was Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't celebrate Christmas. And I got bled out of the carpet with 409.
Oh, wow.
And that was the last time he hit me.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hey, nice. You teach a motherfucker a lesson. You know what I mean?
Fucking handcuffs.
You know, and there's so much of that shit, man.
People's judgment tightens
on.
Up when they see their own blood.
For real.
People are like, wait, well, you know, this might.
He's all laying on the floor
like
going into shock.
That, you're
I mean,
just like, what the just, fuck, man?
It's
like,
just in the arm.
I remember like, did you ever see those pictures? Do you ever see those memes of like R. Kelly standing up over Gayle King, like fucking screaming and hollering, you know, in the middle of his interview and people like made memes of like, me sitting in my connection's house waiting for my bag while he's yelling at his old lady because she's like sitting there so still. Fuck. I remember being in fucking one of my this family I grew up with that grew up down the street from my house, and they all ended up being speed dealers and weirdos, and one of them was schizophrenic. And you know, he lived in this shot out apartment in Corona, and I was kind of like going down there to cop, you know, and they're fucking tooth and nail, screaming, hollering. He's got this big pile of dope on the table. We're just like, dude, just fucking make a couple bindles and break us off so we can all get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
And it just gets to the point where I just, you know what? This is fucking out of line, dude. I'm fucking out of here. You need to fucking get it. You know what I mean? That was before my disease was so gorilla-sized.
Yeah.
Where I still had a little bit of, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're fucking out of line, dude. That's your wife, man. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm so fucking out of here. And I saw this. I checked him pretty hard, but he was a lot older than me, and he was totally unpredictable, so I wasn't going to get physical with him.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing one of the other dudes that was there waiting to cop at another place later on. He's like, hey, little homie, I got a lot of respect for you that day. You stood up and dipped without waiting for your shit, man. That fucker was out of line, you know? And you see so much shit, man.
That's like a once in a lifetime. I've been in so many fucking hostage situations. Like, I'll show up for this. I'll show up and just be held hostage until I can get my shit. Where I was like, right? Okay, I guess I'm in for a penny, in for a pound.
I've had that happen. I had it happen with a weed dealer. In college. Like, just one of those dudes who you were like, had all the trappings of a fine, not fine, like I'm interested in Grateful Dead shit, but I mean, like a normal weed dude. You know, he looked like a hippie, kind of. He was a nice guy, kind of. And then he would just get into it. He'd get into it. His gal would come back. And, you know, weed dealers, you always got to spend more fucking time than any other fucking drug dealer. Because for some reason, they think it's like you want to hang out or you have some spiritual kinship with them or whatever. And they're like, oh, look at the weed. And you're like, oh, that's awesome.
Look at the hairs.
Yeah, look at the hairs and the crystals.
This is the old days. This is like, if you got, and on the East Coast in the 80s, if you got any good pot, it would be just a phenomenon. You would just be like, oh my God, I got Jesus Christ's pubic hair here. You know?
Yeah.
Look at it, feel it, smell it. And and so you'd do that and you'd smoke. Hey, you want to smoke a bong hit? I'd rather do that at home. All right, well, we're going to do it here. And then you do that and you smoke a bong hit. And then
you're in charge, buddy.
And you're just like, yeah, I just need to get that bag out of your hand. That fucking bag you have in your hand, I need that bag. And if you give me that, I'm out of here. Whatever. And then it happens and da-da-da-da. But I always found that it was so uncomfortable because inevitably with this one dude, never was any with anyone else, it was just that he and his old lady would get into arguments. They just get into really uncomfortable arguments that would get a little fucking
and they just
rowdy.
Go like, and you're just like, no one's like, hold on a second, hey, you know, let me take care of you real quick. I got to deal with this.
Yes, exactly.
It's never like that.
No. You're just like, hey, what about that?
Well, fuck you, fucking.
Hey, remember
bitch.
How I?
It's crazy. And then they're calling him like, especially like on the whole like Peckerwood crazy trip, which you know, whatever. I got that's your thing. That's your thing. But there's always this thing too where like. Because there's like a few words that you don't say to somebody that's been to the joint.
Yeah.
It's like you don't call somebody a bitch or a punk because it's fucking on right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, generally, to a man, you just don't say
that
to another
man. Yeah,
by the way,
calling anyone a punk is not going to work.
But the whole like kind of wood thing is calling you the N-word.
Yeah.
That's like the, you know, and... Mm. The old lady would always throw that at him, like to draw him into a fight. You know, call him the N-word.
Yeah.
You know, she'd be like, you bitch, you punk. And then the N-word. And then all of a sudden, like, tables are getting flipped over. And you're like, Jesus Christ, man. And that's when I would go walking. Bye.
Dude, these fools would seriously argue about the dumbest. I remember they'd argue about the dumbest shit, like just vegan shit. You know what I mean? Like some fucking vegetarian, like
is this coconut milk, bitch?
I mean, this is a fucking,
better not
this
be
is like
fucking,
not,
that's probably how it is now.
Yeah,
probably
right.
More like this is more like 90, 91 than it was 80s, I guess, really, when I was this one this particular person. And he'd just be like, girlfriend would come back and be bummed about some kind of how he hadn't fucking taken the eggplant that she had salted, you know, and put it in to start roasting for whatever fucking chutney they were making or whatever. And I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Is this getting between me and my weed?
Like, chutney.
We're talking about weed.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
You and your chutney.
I never want to talk about chutney.
No, I know. Exactly.
The worst is the coke dealers.
Dude,
they're
coke
worse than
dealers
anything.
Are the worst.
Oh yeah.
Well, the worst is me around a coke dealer once I've had one bump. It's just like, hey, guess what? We've got a lot in common.
Did I ever tell you I was molested?
Yeah, exactly.
You start goes back to
I
all that
like
trauma.
I look like a preppy guy, but we've got like, everything in the same.
You just fucking reminded me of the craziest fucking art, dude. This is so fucking gnarly. So I'm in front of my friend Anthony's house, and I'm on one. But I see some. It's a Friday, about 5 or 6 p.m. And I see somebody like across the street and about four houses down, setting up for a yard sale. And you know, I'm
that's Keith's shit right there.
I'm like, treasures.
Hey, coming out
they've
the
got
gravel.
Treasures.
Number 112 coming down
it's
the
like
driveway.
It's like being the receptionist when they start Microsoft. You know, hey, what are you?
Totally.
But I go over there and there's just a lot of weird shit. What you'll love this. The one thing I'm like, what is all this velvet? And they were, she's like, they're velvet curtains. As God is my witness, they had to be 18 to 20 feet high and probably 40 feet across.
They stole them from a fucking theater. God.
They were like a theater, but I like decided I wanted them.
Bob
like,
Baker Marionette Theater got robbed.
Yeah. And Anthony and them are tripping. And they're like, dude, come on, because we're going out. Yeah, right?
What the fuck are you going to do with all this velvet?
It comes with all these weird animatronic bunnies.
I'm like, what do you want for these? What do you want for these curtains? They're like, you want the curtain? Look at all that velvet. And I'm thinking, like, it's funny because I own the skate shop now, but at the time Anthony worked for him, like, fuck, we could definitely use these for the windows of the shop, you know, where Anthony works. I literally was thinking that. But, dude, anyway, so that's how I met these people. But right when I met them, I'm like, oh, these people are on one, you know. So we strike up this thing, and it turns out they're friends with this woman who cook crank. She's we got to get her on here. She's fucking genius.
She's still around?
Yeah, my friend Diana. But she, dude. Her and I, probably the best time I've ever had on speed was running around with her. I told you before, like cooking dope and
yeah, she's the one you fell. She fell asleep and you didn't wake her up because you just wanted to see what happened.
Yeah.
While she was in the middle of cooking speed.
That was Ruben. I let her fall asleep and fucking did a little Scooby Doo's. Yeah, scooping bag. I had to fill that bag up. But I was at that house waiting for Diane, and you know how when they're cooking that shit, you know,
they're
like,
gone for 8 hours,
yeah,
10 hours, 12
they're like,
hours. Yeah.
Okay, meet me over there at 3. You know, next thing you know, it's fucking 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm over at that house, and this dude, and the thing I remember is he was a grip. He's the first grip I ever met, but he, you know, obviously fucked that off. But him and his wife, and he had this, he had two kids who were great, but he had this wife who's like fucking just a vile human being. But, dude, they get in a fucking fight there. And this is going to sound terrible, but I honestly wasn't that aware that there was so many of these, like, so much, like, you know, molestation. And so I didn't know. I knew it happened. And I've already been to prison at this point, but I didn't know it was this common. Like, when you go in AA, you're like, holy fuck, everybody has been.
Yeah.
But, dude, they start fighting. I mean, I'm probably 25 or 26, and these people are probably 38, you know, 36, 38. But, dude, they get in this huge fucking fight. I'm just waiting for the connection to get there, right? But they're getting in this huge fight. And I was kind of like, yo, can you guys cool it and shit? Fuck him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Dude, and then this lady is like, she goes, oh, are you still mad because your daddy touched you?
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, oh, my God. And, dude, she's just beating it. On. I'm like, I've got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
God.
I mean, it was fucking awful. You know, like, and you know, like, it wasn't like she was making it. You could
tell. She was just grinding it in.
Dude, it was fucking awful. Awful.
Yeah, it's brutal. I've seen that kind of exchange before. It's pretty fucking heavy. And I do want to say, like, when I said that about, like, Woods, Peckerwoods, no disrespect to any Peckerwoods. I just want to say that fucking loud and clear. I'm just sharing my experience with this shit. But these other crazy ass Featherwoods that I knew from Riverside, they used to do this shit. They got taught this hustle by this friend of my brother's that he was like a, he like went away to college. He came back. He was like super slick dude, like fit, like, you know, 80s, like, you know, just, it's like good
like,
looking.
Like a bad guy on the Karate Kid.
Totally like a bad guy on the Karate Kid. Yeah. The Cobra Kai dojo guy. Super fit, slick. He came back. He had a coke habit. He was just like way off the rails. And he ended up getting into speed and he ended up getting super crazy. And he just took shit to the hilt. And he ended up getting shot and killed by his girlfriend. And it was this whole gnarly thing.
Corona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was one of my older brother's really good friends. And he would do
Dario's?
No, my older brothers, Mike and Matt, who were my older brothers.
Oh, okay.
They grew up in my hometown. They were kind of like super party guys, but drinking and smoking weed. And,
yeah.
You know, they would do lines occasionally, but they weren't like
out of hand.
Yeah. But this dude went off the rails and he started like, he would, you know, he would be one of those dudes walking around town with a trench coat looking to get into something, you know? And he was just like, had a
tweaker you can spot from space.
Wicked fucking hustle. Yeah, big time tweaker you can spot from space. You're like, motherfucker, you're not invisible. It's 2 a.m. and you got a trench coat.
You're riding a bike with a microwave under your
arm. But he would do shit like walk around town super early in the morning to see like people's cars running in front of their house, warming up to go to work, and jump in their fucking car and take off.
Oh yeah,
be out in the hills in El Cerrito,
just
which
cowboy
is,
shit.
Yeah, total like outlaw cowboy crazy shit. But he taught these girls that I knew that were a little bit younger how to do this thing they used to call. I never did it, but they all like came up tremendously and had all this shit all the time. They called it going on a route. And a root was, this is the worst, like most evil speed thing ever. They would like look in the paper for obituaries of people who had died and like go to that fucking person's house.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, go in this old person's house and get stereo equipment and album record collections and clothes and all this shit. It was out of control. And, but yeah, they had these, you know, they all lived in these like converted sheds behind houses or like a house in Riverside where like the porch is like enclosed, but it's not like insulated and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like tin walls.
But you go in that motherfucker and it's got all this shit from those roots where it's like, you know, speakers and big old vinyl collection. And it was just crazy.
But if you don't sleep, the spiders can't get you.
There you go. Right. Right.
What about Anthony's paranoid of black widows. And he was living in a shed behind this lady Sharon's house.
Oh shit.
Our friend had went to jail for murder. And his grandma and Anthony were real tight, but Anthony was just all assed out, and he was paranoid of fucking black widows. But he would, he slept in the shed, but he was, eventually he had to move out of that shed. He moved in another one further back in the yard. So he
relocated.
Hey, I've never said this before, so he's on one, right?
Got an upgrade.
Dude, Sharon was just like bleeding heart and always wanted to help Anthony out, you know, and she's like, and Sharon's boyfriend had just had it, you know? And she's like, he can't stay here anymore. So she's literally, the grandma would be like, okay, you can't stay here anymore. And she'd be like, I'll leave the car unlocked for you so you can sleep in the car. But he had moved from one shed to the other. And he worked at the Leroy's Boys Home thrift store in Azusa.
Uh-huh.
So he'd have, can you imagine having a speed habit and having a job at a fucking thrift store?
Oh my God, dude.
But dude,
I would spend an entire day with fucking $5 in my pocket at a thrift store trying to find just the right thing.
Me too.
Damn.
There's a lot of options. But he would zip himself up.
That's for real.
You know those
That's
hanging?
Right. Roof.
You know those hanging? You know, you're like luggage, so you unfold it, your suit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anthony would zip himself up inside one of those so the black widows couldn't get him
no
to sleep
way.
In.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
But the grand finale of that, he gets kicked out of one shed, then he's in the other. Then Sharon tells him, okay, I'll leave the car unlocked. So the car was unlocked and her boyfriend was a baker, you know?
Oh, shit.
So he'd leave it like, four in the morning,
uh-huh.
her boyfriend. So Anthony heard him leave and our other friend, Hee-Haw, was, he has one of them dudes, he's always making something, you know? Repairing something, making something.
Yeah.
But he went on a wing ding of making hammocks, right? And he had given Anthony a hammock he made.
To stay off the ground for the spiders.
No, just on GP or whatever. But Anthony heard Sharon's husband leave and he was sleeping in the car. It was all uncomfortable. He goes, fuck it, I'm going to go kick it in the hammock. And he hung it between two trees and he's laying there. He's out. And all of a sudden, he said he just fucking felt himself hit the deck and like knocked the wind out of him.
Uh-huh.
They hit the ground. He's like, fuck. And he looks up and Sharon's boyfriend's there and he goes, I told you, you have to leave and take your hammock with you.
Oh, that's funny, man.
I would never leave a shed. If somebody gave me a nice, safe, cozy little shed, I would.
She did, but like point, her boyfriend got burned out on
as
it.
As long as I could.
I got to get him on here. He's got some great ones. But
dude.
Are we good?
Yeah.
You guys good?
Yeah.
We talked a long time.
Yeah.
We did nicely. 3 hours. That was
it 3 hours? Fuck.
Oh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No, it's great.
That's what we want. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That was
that one's
going to
have to be edited down and condensed down, but I mean, Gary. Killed it. Those were incredible stories.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yeah,
I always like to end it on the positive, man. You're a shining light in recovery and somebody that I respect tremendously.
It's a good life.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
More sober in Reno. More sober in Reno.
I don't give a shit about time. I give a shit like how you living.
Hey, at midnight.
How are you sleeping at night? Like, did you fuck a newcomer today?
Ooh.
Like, that's what I care about.
Hey, the night's still young, right?
Where's hey, the, where's the, what's the fucking newcomers?
I'm just thinking.
I have to I would have to join the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But well, I was just going to say, you know, they say that at midnight, we're all tied for first place.
Yeah. You know, oh,
when it comes to time, at midnight, we're all tied for first.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I love
thanks.
My life.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Gary.
Thank you, Miss Gary.
Gary. Oh, Gary.
Thanks for listening to another episode of It's All Bad. Follow us on Instagram at It Is All Bad. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Let us know who your favorite guests have been so far. We're on YouTube now. How do you find us on YouTube? I always forget.
Search
yeah. It's All Bad podcast on YouTube. We're there because I found it. You could send us an email if you have any questions at itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com and keep an eye out for our Patreon. We got some gear dropping. We're going to have call-ins. We got all kinds of cool shit coming up. Thanks, guys.
Lick the tip.
Ha 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 ha!